Other some fell upon a rock, but the rock was Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I hate to say it, but in Mexico this past week, the skies were blue, the temperatures in the 70s, and sunny each day. And I did have an excellent visit south of the border. I visited for the first time in about 10 years a large 16th century church, but the people are very zealous for the liturgy, and they have shrines and devotions, just as we do. And I visited another place where there are two most devout priests, and it's so very poor that they're trying to build a church. They're literally dirt poor, and there's a corrugated tin wall, and it's almost an open-air kind of a chapel. But still, there are always lots of fireworks and music. I had 70 confirmations in total. And at one point, it was a very nice scene, a mariachi band playing as I passed out the rosaries that some of you kindly made for me to distribute. And I visited the shrine of the Holy Child Jesus, the doctor of the sick, and prayed for you all. Oh, and yes, we came across Irenaeo on Friday as Father Ciordia and I were on our way to church. He crossed our path riding his bicycle. Do you remember Irenaeo? He's the man who sold his wife to the devil. And within about a month, she had been in good health. She fell sick and died. Officially, he's a butcher in town, but on the side, he practices sorcery. He casts spells, black magic, and he also sells drugs. Seems he had just gotten out of jail for the latter offense, and there he was on his bicycle, riding down the street, seemingly without a care in the world. Big smile on his face. He waved a greeting to us. Oh, Father Ciordia explained, he's very respectful. He calls me Tatakura, which is an old title there in the state of Morelos for priests. Tata is like papa, so it's like a very respectful way of saying father, father parish priest. Now, Irenaeo, who sold his soul to the devil some time ago, is an extreme example of what happens in a sense to most souls, without any kind of a formal agreement with the enemy of our race. That is to say, how many there are who, like this man, have heard the word of God, been reborn in the font of baptism, made their first communion, confirmation, confession. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their hearts, lest believing they should be saved. He too once, in the long ago, received the word of God, as so many even here, not so long ago, received the word with joy. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. The seed falls upon the rock, but that rock is not Christ. Cor ad cor loquitur, Scripture says, heart speaks to heart. The sacred heart is looking for a human heart which is prepared, which is ready to receive his word. In his mercy, Jesus, the sower, never stops sowing the seed in the souls of men. He invites them. He calls them. He lights their way by his inspiration. He strengthens and comforts us by his sacraments. And he warns and corrects us by crosses and suffering. But all of this is fruitless unless man offers God. He won't take it. You have to give it to him. A good ground, a heart which is after his own, giving God first place in your life, not sloppy seconds, but first in your affection and in all of your activities. The seed of God's word then can take root, can grow and bear fruit. In proportion that it finds us ready, what's required? Recollection. Not just an evening, although that would be a start, but I mean a life of recollection. A serious approach to the spiritual life. Not a hit and miss affair when you're in the mood. Detachment from self, from sin, and from so much more that dries out and hardens the heart. And finally, perseverance, the very opposite of this business about believing for a time and falling away when temptation comes. Ah, Sacred Heart, Divine Sower, rightly do you complain of arid, sterile soil in man's heart. But our Lord not only sees the problem, he provides the solution. You see, he's the Savior. He sees how hard it is for us to follow through. The ideal is here. I know it. I know it so well, I preach it to others. Many of you have done that. But you also know how far you are from the ideal. You recognize this, and you respect all of the obligations of your Christian faith. But you're a bit like old Irenaeo on his bicycle. You ride on by, or you smile, and you salute our Lord. You might wave to him, but you're on your way, busy with your next deal. And sometimes that deal is with the devil, although you wouldn't like to admit it. And you are perfectly content with your miserable life. Thank you very much. Cycling right towards hell. How on earth are you going to stop and turn around? Did you ever try to ride a bicycle going uphill? That's hard work towards heaven. How to bridge the gap between your ideals and your faith and your own reality, and bring forth good fruit. Our Lord knows our difficulties and our distractions and our despair at times. And thus the divine sower returns in these latter days. All of the obligations of the Christian life have not changed. But he sows now another seed in stony hearts to save us. What is it? It is the seed of devotion. That is why we Christians have so very many statues and holy pictures and novenas and prayers and blessings and medals and scapulars and beads, so that you may choose what you will. The promises are almost always the same, and they are lavish to lift you up and turn you around and to set you upon firm ground and fertile, and to water it well and to work the weeds out. All of this, our weak, inconstant will could not possibly accomplish. But all our Lord requires is our sincerity and to persevere if not in the real Christian life, at least in our devotions. This is enough to make God rain down His grace upon us. He keeps the most extravagant promises He has made. You read about them in the history of any devotion, the Sacred or Immaculate Heart, the Passion, the Seven Sorrows, the Divine Infant, the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Face, the Five Wounds, the Holy Ghost, the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady of Lourdes, and I have just begun the list. But know this, all devotions exist for one object. This, the Protestants and the Novus Ordo do not understand. God's glory, which is seen in His Son, in His life, His birth, His death, which is seen in His glorious Mother, and seen in His saints. In that sense, all the devotions are the same, but the Sacred Heart devotion takes us to the very heart of it all, God's heart. I mean, the reason for everything. It is the why of His wooing us with the Valentine of His Sacred Heart. He sent one to all of you. Some of you have years' worth, and you've never opened the envelope. The love, which is the first and only cause of all that He has done for us. This love bursts forth and it burns everywhere around us. Its source is His heart. And we practice this devotion, however imperfectly, drawing near to His heart, and it is enough. You see, that's why we have devotions. Because the ideal of the Christian life, we wouldn't meet it anymore. But our Lord makes it easy for us, if only we would. Secondly, please remember that Jesus is not alone in loving us so. St. Bridget tells us very beautifully, Jesus worked uno corde, with one heart, with Mary, for our salvation. And therefore, St. John Eudes says, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the heart of Mary. So when we say the Sacred Heart, to whom we are dedicating this coming season of Lent, we understand one heart of two persons, Jesus and Mary. The two are inseparable. But I ride on by. I am all too separable from the Sacred Heart. And thus I fall. And I fall again on rocky, uneven soil. The rock is there because the devil is the ape of God. His rock makes men to be rootless. What a description of modern man that is. People changing religion, changing spouses, changing jobs, moving from place to place. There are no roots anymore for people. And they fall away when they are tempted. But all of that rootlessness should make us turn to the real rock St. Paul told us about last Sunday in the epistle. But the rock was Christ. If you must be all the time losing your balance, if you must be the seed that falls on the rock, why then let it fall upon Christ. St. Anthony says, Our Lord is the rock, and the hole in the rock is the wound in His side. His Sacred Heart is the soul's shelter and dwelling place. He calls us to come and to hide within it. Our Lord says today, some fell upon the rock. That's me. But that's all right, because the rock is Christ. I conclude with Saint Bernard, another saint on the gospel side of our sanctuary, and another Sacred Heart saint. How many there are. He wrote, "The world rages around me, the body weighs upon me, the devil lays snares for me, but I do not fall, because I am founded on your firm rock." Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.